This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. The following is the testimony of the Center's Executive Director, Robert Greenstein, before the President's Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform on June 30, 2010.
Thank you very much. At the Center on Budget, we've long argued that the federal budget's on an unsustainable course and that policymakers need to begin acting. We commend the formation of the Commission and think the President's goal of stabilizing the debt as a share of GDP over the coming decade is the right goal. We would urge you to keep in mind the President's admonition against too much fiscal constraint while the economy is still weak and unemployment is high. For example, the economy badly needs now extension of unemployment insurance and state fiscal relief. Failure to do so is likely to weaken the economy and, by weakening it, delay the date on which it's safe to start instituting the very fiscal consolidation we need. This kind of brings up a question of the target date, in particular the 2015 target date. Aside from the problem that we don't know yet how fast the economy will recover and therefore exactly what year we can start phasing in the savings, as you know, it's going to be really difficult, really virtually impossible, to get significant savings in the big entitlement programs, the big three, by 2015. The health care bill really does virtually everything we know how to do now to save money in Medicare. We need to learn a lot more. There are pilots and demos in the bill. We got to aggressively act on them, but it's not going to get us significant savings by 2015. And we're among those who think it is reasonable for this commission to consider Social Security, but any changes there are going to be phased in. And they're not going to yield significant savings by 2015. There are other parts of the federal budget, but once you're beyond the big three, the rest of the budget has not and is not projected to rise faster than GDP. It's not contributing to the problem. Doesn't mean all those programs shouldn't be scrutinized. They should. But the savings from the other parts of the budget, particularly by 2015, are limited. So it really means that the only reasonable way, in terms of policy, you could get to 3% of GDP by 2015 is if the majority of those savings came from revenues. That is to say, you'd need a path where in the short run the majority of savings were revenues, and over time the contribution from health care and to a lesser degree Social Security grew. But you have to reach agreement and hopefully come up with something that could pass Congress. And so I think my recommendation is that if such a course doesn't give you such a path by 2015, that the commission be open to relaxing the date a bit. It would be a great accomplishment if you could stabilize the debt by 2017 or 2018. That would be a lot better than having a deadlock and coming up with nothing. A few specific items on the deficit reduction composition. Needless to say, slowing the rate of growth of health care costs is critical. As analysts across the political spectrum and people like David Walker have said, there really are real limits to what one can do in Medicare and Medicaid in the absence of slowing the rate of growth of health care costs system-wide. Otherwise, you just have real two-tier systems and all kinds of inefficiency problems. In the area of Social Security, I think the plan developed before he became OMB director by Peter Orszag and noted economist Peter Diamond is a good place to start in looking at measures for long-term Social Security solvency. In looking at Social Security, I'd urge you to keep in mind how modest Social Security benefits are. The average retiree benefit today is $1,170 a month. It's about $14,000 a year. And the percentage of pre-retirement wages that Social Security replaces is significantly lower here than in most Western countries. Obviously, revenues need to be a key part of this. And while we were huge supporters of the 86 Tax Reform Act, in today's fiscal environment, tax reform that is revenue neutral would actually set us back by taking all kinds of opportunities for deficit reduction off the table without progress. Tax reform needs to contribute to deficit reduction in and of itself. Lastly, In developing your proposals, I would strongly urge you, and I think, Mr. Bowles, you spoke about this morning, to elevate as a principle taking care to protect the most vulnerable people in the country. I'd urge you to strive to ensure that as a package, the policies you develop not push more people into poverty or make the people in poverty poorer. The last time we had a big bipartisan deficit reduction package was 1990. And in that package, as well as the 93 package, in both of those packages, they were carefully designed to look at the situation of people at the bottom of the income scale and offset other changes on them. In fact, both of those packages not only reduced deficits, they even reduced poverty at the same time. Not only didn't increase it, they reduced it. So we'd urge you to have a principle of protecting the people at the bottom. And to help you do that, I'd strongly urge you to do what the bipartisan negotiators did in 1990, which is to say that they had the congressional budget, when they had big proposals, not every little detail, but when they had big packages, they had the Congressional Budget Office do distributional analysis by income group so they could make sure they weren't doing damage to people at the bottom. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Read commentary from our experts at offthechartsblog.org. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.